Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. Man, this, what a treat this is for me. I mean, one of my comedy hero legends. I've always said the top three funniest people in the world, John Cleese, Harry Shearer, Christopher Guest. And John Cleese from Monty Python and so much more is on tour, and he's with us. John, what an honor it is to talk to you.
Finally brought meaning into your miserable life.
Exactly. Hey, happy birthday.
Thank you. Yes, sitting here where am I? Akron, Ohio. What a place to spend your birthday.
I was just going to say, I mean, you turn 85 today. Is that true?
No, 84.
Oh, 84.
85 is next year. Well, I probably won't be in Akron or even in Cleveland.
Yeah. And you do, you know, you turn 84, you do everything an 84-year-old man would do. You go on tour with a live show called An Evening with the Late John Cleese, which is coming to so many of our radio stations in our network that we'll get to. But my brother-in-law just saw you last night in Greensburg, Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you see him?
Yes, I did. I think he was in H15.
That was him, yes.
We had a lovely time. It was a very good audience, and I must say, I really enjoyed the show. The audience makes such a difference. You know, just occasionally, sure, the audience looked a bit slow. It's usually because they're out in the sticks, quite frankly. If you're in a nice city and they're a quick audience, it's a very, very pleasant way to earn money.
Yeah, he said he loved it. He said it was a fantastic show. And he said your daughter comes out in the latter part of the show and interviews you. I love that.
Yeah, it's fun because she bitches at me. I call her the saber-toothed daughter. She's always been rude about me and my latest wife.
Right. She said she was talking about that you just moved a middle sibling into the house now.
Well, her line is this. She said, "We have a new child in my family. My father got married again."
But he said, now, you did not talk about, you didn't mention Fawlty Towers. And what a phenomenal show that was.
Well, you see, the problem is that Fawlty Towers was never shown on any big network.
Mm.
And it was shown on PBS. And that's, I think it's about 2% of the viewing public. So there's always a danger if I start talking about Fawlty Towers. A lot of people in the audience simply won't know what I'm talking about, whereas everybody knows about Python. That's why I don't do it. If I was doing the show in England or in Europe, I would be talking about Fawlty Towers a lot because it's very, very famous there. But as I say, it's only ever had a very limited audience in America.
Well, if you haven't seen Fawlty Towers, you need to get on YouTube and check it out because it is one of the funniest shows. And the fact that I think your first wife wrote that with you, right?
Yeah, that's right. And we used to spend about 6 weeks writing each episode, you see, which is unheard of in the sitcom world.
Right.
Most people spend about a week at most, maybe 10 days, but 6 weeks. And there's so much in the shows, which is why people can watch them again and again and again.
You know, I've always kind of guided my life, John, with this mantra that if you don't like Monty Python, I don't want to be a friend of yours. And, you know, there's a certain kind of crowd, and I don't know if you would agree with this. I think you had to be pretty educated to appreciate Monty Python.
I think that's true. But at the same time, you see, kids like the silliness.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. So kids like it, I don't know. It's a strange thing. Kids love Fawlty Towers because it's about who's frightened of whom, and that's a dynamic that kids understand. But Monty Python requires a little bit more than that. I think you've got to be 12 or 13 before you can pluck into Monty Python. But 8-year-olds like Fawlty Towers.
Yeah, and every generation rediscovers Monty Python. We're talking to John Cleese and his live show, An Evening with the Late John Cleese. This is a pretty robust schedule you have, John. I mean, just in our audience, you're going to be in Kansas City on November 9th, November 11th in Rockford, Illinois, the 12th in Peoria, November 16th in St. Louis, 17th in Springfield, and then November 19th in Nashville at the Grand Ole Opry House.
Yeah, I love that. Love that theater. Well, I tell you what it is. The routine is quite good. See, I woke up this morning and I looked out of the window and I thought, aha, this is Akron. and later on, I should wander down the tower and see if there's any restaurants in Akron. But the rumor is that there's at least two. And then I will come back to the bus where we all sit, and I'll do a few emails back to England. And then I'll have a nice sleep, and then I'll go to the theater and get ready for the performance and do the performance. And then I come off stage, and I go into the bus, and I have a gin and tonic. And then I go to sleep, and I wake up in the next city. So that's what I do. I stay for the week.
Do they just transport your body?
Yes.
We're talking to John Cleese here on the National Defense.
They're called Sonny, and they're lovely. A tour manager called Dave Miller, and a wonderful guy that directs a stage show called Andy Kurd, and my daughter. And we just travel all over America and the Midwest.
I loved when I was talking to my brother-in-law, he's telling me about your daughter interviewing you, and she's got these 3x5 cards from the audience with questions, and she's going through them, and she gets to one, and she says, no, that's way too complimentary.
That's right.
That's great. Yes. Well, yes. John, what do people, when they come up to you, first of all, you know they're going to try some kind of a horrible English accent, number one. What are some of the Monty Python quotes that are top of mind to them?
It's funny because I was thinking about this last night on stage. It's odd that some of the lines are not particularly funny. I mean, there's a line when I'm trying to feed the fattest man in the world.
Right, right, right.
And I say, it's only wafer thin. Now, love that line.
Yes.
It doesn't get much of a laugh. And there's another one when the Black Knight has his arm cut off and he says, 'tis but a flesh wound. It doesn't get that big a laugh. It's stuck in people's minds. And in 40 Towers, Basil says, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it. Again, they're not screaming laugh. But it's funny that those lines just stick in people's minds. And when I had a little bit of surgery in L.A. about 6 months ago, they cut a little thing off my arm because it was precancerous. And the surgeon sewed it up and then said to me, "'Tis but a flesh wound."
Well, and my buddies and I over the years, I mean, you get certain Monty Python lines that just never go away. One more mint, sir, is one of my favorites. And, of course, I fart in your general direction. I mean, those kind of things.
That's right.
They're iconic. And it's one of those things when you don't talk to your buddy for 10 years and you use one of those lines, it's like you've never been apart.
I think some of the most essential element of ourselves is our sense of humor.
Yes.
It's almost like an internal identity bracelet. And when people are with someone else with the same sense of humor and they laugh together, there's a moment of emotional connection there that's as profound and spontaneous as anything you ever get in a human relationship, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. And listen, the shape the world's in right now, if you don't have a sense of humor, you're not getting through it.
No, and unfortunately, the extreme end of woke, I mean, woke is both a good thing and a bad thing. It's arranged on a spectrum of the bad end. They're trying to stop people from laughing, and they have no idea of the psychology of laughter. They're completely ignorant of it, but that doesn't stop them from trying to control what everyone else thinks and does.
What was your comment? Ignorance can be fixed, but if you're stupid...
That's right. Ignorance easily fixed by a short dose of curiosity, but stupidity, there's nothing you can do about
it. So good. John, listen, man, it has just been such a pleasure and an honor to talk to you. Happy birthday. I'm going to send you a box of lemurs, and please enjoy your time in Akron.
Oh, I look forward to that box of lemurs.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.